हरि ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
So Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 9, The Tree of Devotional Service, from verse 11. Srila Prabhupada is then commenting. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in his Anubhasya. Oh no, that ended up there. Yeah, okay. Srila Ishwara Puri was the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But before initiating Lord Chaitanya, he went to Navadvip to live for a few months in the house of Gopinath Acharya. At that time, Lord Chaitanya became acquainted with him. And it is understood that he served Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by reciting his book, Krishna Lilamrita. This is explained in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat Adikanda, Chapter 11. To teach others by example how to be a faithful disciple, one spiritual master, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, visited the birthplace of Ishwara Puri at Kumarahatta and collected some earth from his birth site. This he kept very carefully, and he used to eat a small portion of it daily. It is stated in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Adikanda, Chapter 7. It has now become customary for devotees, following the example of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to go there and collect some earth from that place. Verse 1, 9, 12 through 15. By his inconceivable powers, the Lord became the gardener, the trunk and the branches simultaneously. Paramananda Puri, Keshava Bharati, Brahmananda Puri and Brahmananda Bharati, Sri Vishnu Puri, Keshava Puri, Krishnananda Puri, Sri Nishinga Tirtha, and Sukhananda Puri. These nine sannyasi roots all sprouted from the trunk of the tree. Thus the tree stood steadfast on the strength of these nine roots. Srila Prabhupada. Paramananda Puri. Paramananda Puri belonged to a Brahmana family of the Trihut district in Uttar Pradesh. Madhavendra Puri was his spiritual master. In relationship with Madhavendra Puri, Paramananda Puri was very dear to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat Antyakanda, there is the following statement. Among the sannyasi disciples, Ishwara Puri and Paramananda Puri were very dear to Madhavendra Puri. Thus, Paramananda Puri, like Sarup Damodar, who was also a sannyasi, was very dear to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and was his constant associate. When Lord Chaitanya accepted the renounced order, Paramananda Puri offered him the danda. Paramananda Puri was always engaged in meditation, and Sri Sarup was always engaged in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered full respect to his spiritual master Ishwara Puri, he similarly respected Paramananda Puri and Sarup Damodar. It is described in the Chaitanya Bhagavat Antikanda, Chapter 3, that when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first saw Paramananda Puri, he made the following statement. My eyes, my mind, my religious activities, and my acceptance of the sannyas order have now all become perfect because today Madhavendra Puri is manifest before me in the form of Paramananda Puri. The Chaitanya Bhagavat further states, thus Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exchanged respectful obeisances with Paramananda Puri, who is very dear to him. End quote. Paramananda Puri established a small monastery behind the western side of the Jagannath temple, where he had a well dug to supply water. The water, however, was bitter, and therefore Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed to Lord Jagannath to allow Ganges water to come into the well to make it sweet. When Lord Jagannath granted the request, Lord Chaitanya told all the devotees that from that day hence, the water of Paramananda's Puri well should be celebrated as Ganges water. For any devotee who would drink it or bathe in it would certainly get the same benefit as that derived from drinking or bathing the waters of the Ganga. Such a person would certainly develop pure love of Godhead. It is stated in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Antya 3.2.55. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to say, I am living in this world only account of the excellent behavior of Sri Paramananda Puri. The Gorganudash Deepika 1.18 states, Puri Sri Paramanando Ya Asid Udhava Pura. Paramananda Puri is none other than Udhava. Udhava was Lord Krishna's friend and cousin, and in Chaitanya Leela, the same Udhava became the friend of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his uncle in terms of their relationship in the disciplic succession. Keshava Bharati. The Saraswati, Bharati, and Puri Sampradayas belong to the Sringeri Math in South India, and Sri Keshava Bharati, who at that time was situated in a monastery in Katwa, belonged to the Bharati Sampradaya. According to some authoritative opinions, although Keshava Bharati belonged to the Shankara Sampradaya, he had formerly been initiated by a Vaishnava. He is said to have been a Vaishnava on account of having been initiated by Madhavendra Puri. For some say he took sannyas from Madhavendra Puri. The temple and deity worship started by Keshava Bharati are still existing in the village known as Katundi, which is under the postal jurisdiction of Kandara in the district of Burdwan. According to the managers of that mutt, the priests are descendants of Keshava Bharati, and some say that the worshippers of the deities are descendants of the sons of Keshava Bharati. In his household life, he had two sons, Nishapati and Ushapati, and a Brahmin of the name Sri Nakari Chandra Vidyaratna, who was a member of the family of Nishapati, was the priest in charge at the time that Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur visited this temple. According to some, the priests of the temple belonged to the family of Keshabharati's brother. Still another opinion is that they descend from Madhava Bharati, who is another disciple of Keshava Bharati's. Madhava Bharati's disciple Balabhadra, who also later became a sannyasi of the Bharati Sampradaya, had two sons in his family named Madana and Gopal. Madana, whose family surname was Bharati, lived in the village of Aurya, and Gopal, whose family surname was Brahmachari, lived in the village of Dandunda. There are still many living descendants of both families. In the Gorganudash Deepika 52, it is said, Sandipani Muni, who formerly offered the sacred thread to Krishna and Balaram, later became Keshava Bharati. It is he who offered sannyas to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There is another statement of Keshava Bharati from the Gorganudash Deepika 1.17. Iti Kechit Prabhu. Prabha Shante Krura Keshava Bharati. According to some authoritative opinions, Keshava Bharati is an incarnation of Akrura. Keshava Bharati offered the sannyas order to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the year 132 Shakabda, AD 1510, in Katwa. This is stated in the Vaishnava Manjusha, Part 2. Brahmananda Nandapuri. Sri Brahmananda Puri was one of the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu while he was performing kirtan in Navadvipa, and he also joined Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri. We may note in this connection that the name Brahmananda is accepted not only by Mayavadi sannyasis, but by Vaishnava sannyasis also. One of our foolish godbrothers criticized our sannyasi Brahmananda Swami, saying that this was a Mayavadi name. The foolish man did not know that Brahmananda does not always refer to the impersonal Brahman. Parabrahman, the supreme Brahman, is Krishna. A devotee of Krishna can therefore also be called Brahmananda. This is evident from the fact that Brahmananda Puri was one of the chief sannyasi associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yeah, so sometimes they like to get down on all these names and stuff like that, but, you know, as we see Prabhupada say, it's not it's not so important, these things. Because Krishna, when you say Brahman, it means Krishna. It doesn't mean the Brahma Jyoti. A devotee of Krishna, okay. Brahmananda Bharati. Brahmananda Bharati went to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Jagannath Dham. At that time, he used to wear only a deerskin to cover himself. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu indirectly indicated that he did not like this deerskin covering. Brahmananda Bharati therefore gave it up and accepted a loincloth of saffron color, as used by Vaishnava sannyasis. For some time, he lived with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Jagannath Puri. Verse 1:9, 16-25. With the sober and grave Paramananda Puri as the central root, and the other eight roots in the eight directions, the tree of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stood firmly. From the trunk grew many branches, and above them innumerable others. Thus the branches of the Chaitanya tree form a cluster or society, with great branches covering all the universe. From each branch grew many hundreds of sub-branches. No one can count how many branches thus grew. I shall try to name the foremost of the innumerable branches. Please hear the description of the Chaitanya tree. At the top of the tree, the trunk branched into two. One trunk was named Sri Advaita Prabhu, and the other Sri Nityananda Prabhu. From these two trunks grew many branches and sub-branches that covered the entire world. These branches and sub-branches and their sub-branches and their sub-branches became so numerous that no one can actually write about them. Thus the disciples and grand disciples and their admirers spread throughout the entire world, and it is not possible to enumerate them all. As a big fig tree bears fruits all over its body, each part of the tree of devotional service bore fruit. Right, because you see it's just everywhere on the fig tree. It's not just where you have the branch, and at the end there's the leaves, and then there's a little flower, and then there. It means they're everywhere on the side, everywhere. So every part of the Chaitanya tree is giving the fruits of love of God. So you don't have to worry. Oh no, only if we're here, then we'll get it. Srila Prabhupada. This tree of devotional service is not of this material world. It grows in the spiritual world. There's no distinction between one part of the body and another. It is something like a tree of sugar. For whatever part such a tree one tastes, it is always sweet. The tree of bhakti has varieties of branches, leaves, and fruits. But they are all meant for the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are 9 different processes of devotional service. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. Srimad Bhagavatam 7:5:23. But all of them are meant only for the service of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, whether one hears, chants, remembers, or worships, his activities all yield the same result. Which one of these processes will be the most suitable for a particular devotee depends upon his taste. Right, so it's not that only this one works and this and that. So it's in the association of devotees, we take up the devotional service, you know, with hearing and chanting being the prominent. But then, you know, that's where one starts from. That's the constant. Then how you apply yourself, whether you put in more effort in the chanting or in deity worship or in other aspects, then it all gets better. One gets better. Yeah? Verse 1:9, 26-29. Since Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the original trunk, the taste of the fruits that grew on the branches and sub-branches surpassed the taste of nectar. The fruits ripened and became sweet and nectarine. The gardener, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, distributed them without asking any price. All the wealth in the three worlds could not equal the value of one such nectarine fruit of devotional service. Not considering who asked for it and who did not, nor who was fit and who was unfit to receive it, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distributed the fruit of devotional service. Srila Prabhupada. This is the sum and substance of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. There is no distinction made between those who are fit and those who are not fit to hear or take part in the Sankirtan movement. It should therefore be preached without discrimination. The only purpose of the preachers of the Sankirtan movement must be go on preaching without restriction. That is the way in which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduced the Sankirtan movement to the world. Right? So we are preaching to everyone. Everyone's giving a chance to come in contact with this devotional process. Right? Then, but then that closer association, that would be with those who have that serious aspect. But otherwise, everybody, regardless of their position or background, is given an opportunity to take part in the mission. And then those who take it more seriously, then there's further cultivation. 1:9, 30-32. The transcendental gardener, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, distributed handful after handful of fruit in all directions. And when the poor, hungry people ate the fruit, the gardener smiled with great pleasure. Lord Chaitanya thus addressed the multifarious varieties of branches and sub-branches of the tree of devotional service. Quote, "Since the tree of devotional service is transcendental, every one of its parts can perform the action of all the others. Although a tree is supposed to be immovable, this tree nevertheless moves." Srila Prabhupada. "Is our experience in the material world that trees stand in one place? But in the spiritual world, a tree can go from one place to another." Right? So the Ents may have been onto something, right? "Therefore, everything in the spiritual world is called alaukika, uncommon or transcendental. Another feature of such a tree is that it can act universally. In the material world, the roots of a great tree go deep within the earth to gather food. But in the spiritual world, the twigs, branches, and leaves of the upper portion of the tree can act like roots." Right? Just like any sense can act in any way, you know, in the body. So in the same way, the trees are like that. And they can move around if they want. Verse 1:9, 33-34. Lord Chaitanya continued, "All the parts of this tree are spiritually cognizant, and thus as they grow, they spread all over the world. I am the only gardener. How many places can I go? How many fruits can I pick and distribute?" Srila Prabhupada. Here Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu indicates that the distribution of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra should be performed by combined forces. Although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he laments, "How can I act alone? How can I alone pick the fruit and distribute it all over the world?" This indicates that all classes of devotees should combine to distribute the Hare Krishna Mahamantra without consideration of time, place, or situation. Verse 1:9, 35-37. Lord Chaitanya continued, It would certainly be a laborious task to pick the fruits and distribute them alone, and still I suspect that some would receive them and others would not. Therefore, I order every man within this universe to accept this Krishna consciousness movement and distribute it everywhere. I am the only gardener. If I do not distribute these fruits, what shall I do with them? How many fruits can I alone eat? Srila Prabhupada. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu produced so many fruits of devotional service that they must be distributed all over the world. Otherwise, how could he alone relish and taste each and every fruit? The original reason that Lord Sri Krishna descended as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was to understand Srimati Radharani's love for Krishna and to taste that love. The fruits of the tree of devotional service were innumerable, and therefore he wanted to distribute them unrestrictedly to everyone. Srila Rupa Goswami therefore writes, "Anarpita charitam chirat karun yav vatirna kalau samarpayitum an Annato jvala rasam sva bhakti shriyam Hari purata sundara dyuti kadamba sandipita Sada hridaye na hridaya kandare spuratu va sachi nandanaha." There were many previous incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but none were so generous, kind, and magnanimous as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. For he distributed the most confidential aspect of devotional service, namely the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna. Therefore, Sri Rupa Goswami Prabhupada desires that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu live perpetually in the hearts of all devotees, for thus they can understand and relish the loving affairs of Srimati Radharani and Krishna. Right? Because he alone, how he tastes, but then for all the devotees, they're taking part in this, then Lord Chaitanya residing in their hearts. Then through that, that tasting can be expanded. Verse 1:9, 38. Lord Chaitanya continued, "By the transcendental desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Water has been sprinkled all over the tree, and thus there are innumerable fruits of love of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada. God is unlimited, and his desires are also unlimited. This example of unlimited fruits is factually appropriate even within the material context. For with the good will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there can be enough fruits, grain, and other foodstuffs produced so that all the people in the world could not finish them, even if they ate 10 times their capacity. In this world, there is no actual scarcity of anything but Krishna consciousness. If people become Krishna conscious by the transcendental will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there will be enough foodstuffs produced so that the people will have no economic problems at all. One can very easily understand this fact. The production of fruits and flowers depends not upon our will, but upon the supreme will of the Personality of Godhead. If he is pleased, he can supply enough fruits and flowers, etc. But if people are atheistic and godless, then nature, by his will, restricts the supply of food. Right, so shortage is due to lack of God consciousness. Right, people get greedy, they waste, they do all these different things, and so it's naturally restricted. 1939-40. Lord Chaitanya continued, distribute this Krishna conscious movement all over the world. Let people eat these fruits and ultimately come free from old age and death. If the fruits are distributed all over the world, my reputation as a pious man will be known everywhere, and thus all people will glorify my name with great pleasure. Srila Prabhupada. This prediction of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is now actually coming to pass. The Krishna conscious movement is being distributed all over the world through the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and people who are leading confused, chaotic lives are now feeling transcendental happiness. They are finding peace in Sankirtana, and therefore they are acknowledging the supreme benefit of this movement. This is the blessing of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His prediction is now factually being fulfilled, and those who are sober and conscientious are appreciating the value of this great movement. Verse 1941. Lord Chaitanya continued, one who has taken his birth as a human being, the land of India, Bharatvarsha, should make his life successful and work for the benefit of all other people. Srila Prabhupada. The magnanimity of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is expressed in this very important verse. Although he was born in Bengal, and Bengalis therefore have a special duty towards him, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is addressing not only Bengalis, but all the inhabitants of India. It is in the land of India that actual human civilization can be developed. Human life is especially meant for God realization, as stated in the Vedanta Sutra, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Anyone who takes birth in the land of India, Bharatvarsha, has the special privilege of being able to take advantage of the instructions and guidance of the Vedic civilization. He automatically receives the basic principles of spiritual life. For 99.9% of the Indian people, even simple village farmers and others, who are neither educated nor sophisticated, believe in the transmigration of the soul, believe in past and future lives, believe in God, and naturally want to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his representative. These ideas are the natural inheritance of a person born in India. India has many holy places of pilgrimage, such as Gaya, Benares, Mathura, Prayag, Vrindavan, Haridwara, Rameshwaram, and Jagannath Puri, and still people go there by the hundreds and thousands. Although the present leaders of India are influencing the people not to believe in God, not to believe in a next life, and not to believe in a distinction between pious and impious life, and although they are teaching them how to drink wine, eat meat, and become supposedly civilized, people are nevertheless afraid of the four activities of sinful life, namely illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. And whenever there is a religious festival, they gather together by the thousands. We have actual experience of this. Whenever the Krishna conscious movement holds a Sankirtana festival in a big city like Calcutta, Bombay, Madras, Ahmedabad, or Hyderabad, there's an A in Hyderabad.
Copy and paste
it. No, I'm just saying there's an A there. So it's Hyderabad. Okay. Thousands of people come to hear. Sometimes we speak in English, but even though most people do not understand English, they nevertheless come to hear us. Even when imitation incarnations of God speak, people gather in the thousands. For everyone who is born in the land of India has a natural spiritual inclination and is taught the basic principles of spiritual life. They merely need to be a little more educated in the Vedic principles. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says here, Janma Shartaka Kari Kara Para Upakar. If an Indian is educated in the Vedic principles, he is able to perform the most beneficial welfare activity for the entire world. Because other things, you can feed people, you can do these things, which are important to do, but they don't actually do anything for the soul. So Krishna conscious, that's the topmost welfare activity. Because that gives an eternal result. That actually benefits the soul. At present, for one of Krishna consciousness or God consciousness, the entire world is in darkness, having been covered by the four principles of sinful life, meat eating, illicit sex, gambling, and intoxication. There is a need for vigorous propaganda to educate people to refrain from sinful activities. This will bring peace and prosperity. The rogues, thieves, and debauchees will naturally decrease in number, and all of human society will be God conscious. This is not only the duty of Indians, but the duty of everyone, and we are very happy that American and European boys and girls are seriously cooperating with this movement. One should know definitely that the best welfare activity for all human society is to awaken man's God consciousness or Krishna consciousness. Therefore, everyone should help this great movement. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 22nd chapter, verse 35, which is quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. From 1942. Lord Chaitanya continued, "It is the duty of every living being to perform welfare activities for the benefit of others with his life, wealth, intelligence, and words. Srila Prabhupada. There are two kinds of general activities. Shreyas are activities which are ultimately beneficial and auspicious, and prayas are those which are immediately beneficial and auspicious. So ultimately beneficial and auspicious, and those that are immediately beneficial and auspicious. For example, children are fond of playing. They do not want to go to school to receive an education. They think that to play all day and night and enjoy with their friends is the aim of life. Even in the transcendental life of Lord Krishna, we find that when he was a child, he was very fond of playing with his friends of the same age, the cowherd boys. He would not even go home to take his dinner. Mother Jashoda would have to come out to induce him to come home. Thus it is a child's nature to engage all day and night in playing, not caring even for his health and other important concerns. This is an example of prayas, or immediate beneficial activities. But there are also shreyas, or activities which are ultimately auspicious. According to Vedic civilization, a human being must be God-conscious. He should understand what God is, what this world, material world is, and who he is, and what their interrelationship are. This is called shreyas, or ultimately auspicious activity. So understanding the nature of the soul, nature of God, nature of the material world, their interaction, their relationship, that's actually the ultimately beneficial activity. Because then from that, that will bring you forward to applying it in Krishna consciousness and coming to the point of developing love to Krishna. In this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that one should be interested in shreyas. To achieve the ultimate goal of shreyas, or good fortune, one should engage everything, including his life, wealth, and words, not only for himself, but for others also. However, unless one is interested in shreyas in his own life, he cannot preach of shreyas for the benefit of others. So you can preach what you're doing, like that. That's where the potency will lie. So what you're endeavoring for, how you're trying to apply Krishna consciousness in your life, that's where you'll have that potency to give to others. This verse, cited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, applies to human beings, not to animals. As indicated in the previous verse by the words Manushya Janma, these injunctions are for human beings. Unfortunately, human beings, although they have the bodies of men, are becoming less than animals in their behavior. This is the fault of modern education. Modern educators do not know the aim of human life. They are simply concerned with how to develop the economic condition of their countries or of human society. Because that's the whole point of it. If you ask anyone why you're getting a degree, it's all about economics. Why this particular degree? Oh, because that's, you know, developing, this, you know, it's coming up. Like that. So it's just economics. That's the only reason. This is also necessary. The Vedic civilization considers all aspects of human life, including dharma, religion, artha, economic development, kama, sense gratification, and moksha, liberation. But humanity's first concern should be religion. To be religious, one must abide by the orders of God. But unfortunately, people in this age have rejected religion, and they are busy in economic development, right? They're not necessarily getting it, right? It means it's, you always hear, I mean, since basically, I don't know, the last like 15 years or so, it's always recession. Like that. Because they're trying for economic development without dharma, without religion. So the point in the Vedic system, it's necessary, but the point is it goes with dharma. You perform dharma, artha will come. But if you just straight go for artha, how will that work? That's like saying, without cooking, I'm just going to go straight for the meal. You know, sounds good, you know, like that. I don't waste time with all this cooking meals. We just go straight for the meal. But where is that meal without cooking? So that's the problem. Right? So does that make sense? So if we don't put an emphasis on it, it's not, oh, we don't care about it. But the point is it has its place. So when you take it out of its place, then it loses something. To be religious, one must abide by the orders of God. But unfortunately, people in this age have rejected religion, and they are busy in economic development. Therefore, they will adopt any means to get money. For economic development, one does not need to get money by hook or by crook. One needs only sufficient money to maintain his body and soul. However, because modern economic development is going on with no religious background, people have become lusty, greedy, and mad after money. Because right? That's the whole system. You're trying to build volume. To build volume, people have to be lusty, greedy, and mad after money. Otherwise, the system doesn't work. Right? So the point is that if you're following a religion, you perform your duty, and then the results that come from that, you apply. Right? Because it's just, the economic is to support your religious life. And so then it works very nicely. But if economics is to support a life of lust, greed, and, and more money, then one goes beyond these things. And so therefore there'll always be a shortage. Right? In the Vedic system is that everyone's performing their duties, everything goes up. Like, you know, it's like there's so much foodstuff, like Prabhupada said. There's so much availability of things, even if you use 10 times more than what you need, there'd still be extra. Right? So that's the Vedic system, is just everything increases. Right? But the modern system is because of this greed and lust, is that no, you have to get more than what's required. And so everyone's fighting over that more, so there's never enough. Right? You know, it's like in the stock market. I think it's 92% of the people lose money, and 8% or 7% or 9% make money. That's how it works. It's not that everybody can make money. You know, so it's not like everybody can go out into the field, farm, and get produce. No, it's that somebody, by them getting produce, someone else has to lose. So it's not actually a very good system. Right? They are simply developing the qualities of rajas, passion, and tamas, ignorance, neglecting the other quality of nature, sattva, goodness, and the brahminical qualifications. Therefore, the entire society is in chaos. The Bhagavatam says that it is the duty of an advanced human being to act in such a way as to facilitate human society's attainment of the ultimate goal of life. There's a similar verse in the Vishnu Purana, Part 3, Chapter 12, Verse 45, which is next quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Verse 1:9:43. Lord Chaitanya continued, by his work, thoughts, and words, an intelligent man must perform actions which will be beneficial for all living entities in this life and next. Srila Prabhupada. Unfortunately, people in general do not know what is to take place in the next life. To prepare oneself for his next life is common sense. It is the principle of the Vedic civilization. But presently, people throughout the world do not believe in a next life. Even influential professors and other educators say that as soon as the body is finished, everything is finished. This atheistic philosophy is killing human civilization. People are responsibly performing all sorts of sinful activities, and thus the privilege of human life is being taken away by the educational propaganda of the so-called leaders. Actually, it is a fact that this life is meant for preparation for the next life. By evolution, one has come through many species or forms, and this human form of life is an opportunity to promote oneself to a better life. This is explained in the Bhagavad Gita, 9:25. Those who worship the demigods will take birth among the demigods. Those who worship ghosts and spirits will take birth among such beings. Those who worship ancestors go to the ancestors, and those who worship me will live with me. End quote. Therefore, one may promote himself to the higher planetary systems, which are the residences of the demigods. One can promote himself to Pitri Loka. One can remain on Earth, or one can also go back home, back to Godhead. This is further confirmed, because they're not understanding. They've gone through all these, you have so many species of life, so to get up to human, that's what his specialty is. Right? Not just doing more of what the animals do. Right? This is further confirmed elsewhere in the Bhagavad Gita 4:9. Chaktva deham punar janma naitimam eti sorjuna. After giving up the body, one who knows Krishna in truth does not come back again to this world to accept a material body, but he goes back home, back to Godhead. This knowledge is in the Shastras, and people should be given the opportunity to understand it, even if one is not able to go back to Godhead in one life. The Vedic civilization at least gives one the opportunity to be promoted to the higher planetary systems, where the demigods live and not glide down again to animal life. At present, people do not understand this knowledge, although it constitutes a great science, for they are uneducated and trained not to accept it. This is the horrible condition of modern human society. As such, the Krishna conscious movement is the only hope to direct the attention of intelligent men to a greater benefit in life. So intelligent means those who can appreciate this. That's the thing. So it's for those who are intelligent, those who can appreciate Krishna consciousness. That's what it's for. Verse 1:9:44. Lord Chaitanya continued, I am merely a gardener. I have neither a kingdom nor very great riches. I simply have some fruits and flowers, which I wish to utilize to achieve piety in my life. Srila Prabhupada. In performing welfare activities for human society, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu presents himself as being not very rich, thus indicating that a man need not be rich or opulent to act for the welfare of humanity. Sometimes rich men are very proud that they can perform beneficial activities for human society, whereas others cannot. A practical example is that when there is a scarcity of food in India, on account of meager rainfall, some members of the richer class very proudly distribute foodstuffs, making huge arrangements with the help of the government, as if merely by such activities people will be benefited. Suppose there were no food grain, how would the rich men distribute food? Production of grain is completely in the hands of God. If there were no rain, there can be no grain, and these so-called rich men would be unable to distribute grain to the people. The real purpose of life, therefore, is to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Rupa Goswami describes this in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that devotional service is so exalted that it is beneficial and auspicious for every man. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also declared that to propagate the bhakti cult of devotional service in human society, one does not need to be very rich. Anyone who knows the art can do it and thus render the highest benefit to humanity. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu takes the part of a gardener because, although a gardener is naturally not a very rich man, he has some fruits and flowers. Any man can collect some fruits and flowers and satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead in devotional service, as the Lord recommends in the Bhagavad Gita 9:26. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya parayachati tad aham bhakti upaharitam ashnami pratyatat manaha. One cannot satisfy the Supreme Lord by his riches, wealth, or opulent position, but anyone can collect a little fruit or flower and offer it to the Lord. The Lord says that if one brings such an offering in devotion, he will accept it and eat it. When Krishna eats, the entire world becomes satisfied. There's a story in the Mahabharata illustrating how by Krishna's eating, the 60,000 disciples of Durvasa Muni were all satisfied.
It's crazy how it keeps happening.
Yeah, yeah. Doesn't matter which books we're reading. Therefore, it is a fact that if by our life, pranahi, by our wealth, artaihi, by our intelligence, dhiya, or by our words, vacha, we can satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, naturally the entire world will become happy. Therefore, our main duty is to satisfy the Supreme Godhead by our actions, our money, and our words. This is very simple. Even if one does not have money, he can preach the Hare Krishna mantra to everyone. One can go everywhere, to every home, and request everyone to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Thus, the entire world situation will become very happy and peaceful. Verse 1945. Lord Chaitanya continued, although I am acting as a gardener, I also want to be the tree, for thus I can bestow benefit on all. Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most benevolent personality in human society, because his only desire is to make people happy. His Sankirtana movement is especially meant for the purpose of making people happy. He wanted to become the tree himself because the tree is said to be the most benevolent living entity. In the following verse, which is from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.22.33, Krishna himself highly praises the existence of a tree. Verse 1.9.46. Lord Chaitanya continued, just see how these trees are maintaining every living entity. Their birth is successful. Their behavior is just like that of great personalities. For anyone who asks anything from a tree never goes away disappointed. We have five quotation marks.
Yes, because so Lord Chaitanya is talking, but he's quoting 10.22.33. So at the end of it, so our stuff is always in quotes, the verses, and then it's Lord Chaitanya talking, so that's the second set.
Okay.
And the third set is from Srimad Bhagavatam.
Oh, okay.
So there's two, and then a double, a single, and a double.
Okay.
That's why there's five.
Oh, I see. Okay. Srila Prabhupada, according to Vedic civilization, Kshatriyas are considered to be great personalities because if anyone goes to a Kshatriya king to ask for charity, the king will never refuse. The trees are compared to those noble Kshatriyas because everyone derives all kinds of benefits from them. Some people take fruit, others take flowers, others take leaves, others take twigs, and others even cut the tree. Yet the tree gives to everyone without hesitation. Unnecessarily cutting trees without consideration is another example of human debauchery. The paper industry cuts many hundreds and thousands of trees for its mills, and with the paper so much rubbish literature is published for the whimsical satisfaction of human society. Unfortunately, although these industrials are now happy in this life by dint of their industrial development, they do not know that they will incur the responsibility for killing these living entities who are in the form of trees. This verse, quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam, was spoken by Lord Krishna to his friends when he was taking rest underneath a tree after his pastimes of stealing the clothes of the gopis, Vastraharana Lila. By quoting this verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches us that we should be tolerant like trees and also beneficial like trees. Right? So you have both, the characters where you yourself are tolerant. So one's forgiving, one's not being disturbed, and at the same time one is trying to benefit others. Okay, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches us we should be tolerant like trees and also beneficial like trees, which give everything to the needy persons who come underneath them. A needy person may derive many advantages from trees and also from many animals. But in modern civilization, people have become so ungrateful that they exploit the trees and animals and kill them. These are some of the sinful activities of modern civilization. Grumpy bird. These ones especially, they get grumpy and they really go for it. It's actually, this one is a kind of coquille.
Yeah.
But they don't sound so coquillish when they're grumpy.
They can't get it to the deep snow.
No, no. Yeah. Verse 1947-51. The descendants of the tree, the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, were very glad to receive this order directly from the Lord. The fruit of love of Godhead is so delicious that wherever a devotee distributes it, those who relish the fruit anywhere in the world immediately become intoxicated. The fruit of love of Godhead, distributed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is such a great intoxicant that anyone who eats it, filling his belly, immediately becomes maddened by it, and automatically chants, dances, laughs, and enjoys. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the great gardener, sees that people are chanting, dancing, and laughing, and that some of them are rolling on the ground and some are making loud humming sounds, he smiles with great pleasure. That the great gardener, Lord Chaitanya, personally eats this fruit, and as a result, he constantly remains mad, and is helpless, as if helpless and bewildered. Srila Prabhupada. It is the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to act himself and teach other people. He says, Apani achari bhakti karila prachar. Chaitanya Charamita, Adi Lila, 4:41. One must first act himself and then teach. This is the function of a real teacher. Unless one is able to understand the philosophy that he speaks, it will not be effective. Therefore, one should not only understand the philosophy of the Chaitanya cult, but also implement it practically in one's life. So that's the whole point, is hearing from the spiritual master, and then with the blessing of the spiritual master, be able to understand it and apply it. Right? That's the next position. That's very important. Verse 1952-53. With his Samkirtan movement, the Lord made everyone mad like himself. We do not find anyone who is not intoxicated by his Samkirtan movement. Persons who had formerly criticized Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, calling him a drunkard, also ate the fruit and began to dance, saying, "Very good, very good." To the puff. Sorry?
The garlic inside the
chat,
the
bottom. Oh, these guys. What is this kind of guy? I don't know. Oh, some kind of funny little... funny little wasp. I think one got in the other side over here. So. I was trying to figure out what's flying around and falling in my claw. Everything's flying around. Even a butterfly. Srila Prabhupada, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started the Samkirtan movement, even he was unnecessarily criticized by Mayavadis, atheists, and fools. Naturally, we are also criticized by such men. They will always remain and will always criticize anything that is actually good for human society, right? So this idea that, oh, they're educated, oh, they have degrees, oh, they're respected in society, therefore we have to please them, is pointing out, no, they've always been there, they always criticize, and there's nothing you can do to please them. Like that. It just doesn't exist, right? But the preachers of the Samkirtan movement should not be deterred by such criticism. Our method should be to convert such fools gradually by asking them to come and take prasadam and chant and dance with us.
What if they don't like the way we dance?
Yeah, well, what to do? Then just take prasadam. Sit on the side and eat. This should be our policy. Anyone who comes to join us, of course, must be sincere and serious regarding spiritual advancement in life. Then such a person, simply by joining us, chanting with us, dancing with us, and taking prasadam with us, will gradually also come to say that this movement is very good. The one who joins us with an ulterior purpose to get material benefit or personal gratification will never be able to grasp the philosophy of this movement. Right? So it's for everyone. So everyone's given the opportunity. But as we said, those who come closer, then that has to be those who are more serious. Right? Something else. Yeah. So there's a difference between there's the movement, and then there's also the society. Does that make sense? Which is does that make sense? So everybody is given opportunity to come in contact with and take those who are serious. They become part of that society. Does that make sense? Yes.
Maharaj, in our yatra, we had one person. He came because he was part of some nationalistic movement. So he came and he was looking for how to blow us up, basically, how to put a bomb inside the temple or something. So but then when he started coming regularly, he became devotee.
A
real devotee.
Okay, so that's the real solution to the Guy Fawkes problem. Okay. See, that was the problem. Not enough prasad for him.
We preach to everybody, basically. So it means that in some particular ways we should.
Means you don't put in special effort. Means like you have a program, you preach to everyone. You don't spend then somebody comes forward and just wants to argue all day. You don't put in your effort there, because it's a waste of time. Because they'll always criticize, always find fault. But take part. It says prasadam, chanting and dancing. You didn't say, you know, talking philosophy or something like that. You know, so you just engage like that. And then, you know, but those who are going to, you know, stay in the temple, or those who are going to be a closer part of the community, then you're going to see that they're the ones that are more sincere. Like that. But otherwise, like you pointed out, even they have an ulterior motive or material benefit or that, they come in contact with the devotees, then they tend to change. Like that. But those who don't, then, you know, they have their place, they can take part wherever they will, but they may not get too close. You know, it's just because they have other purposes. Yes.
In the university, I preached to my students, and many of them chanted Hare Krishna loudly, especially before them, because they wanted to get good marks.
Okay, did they get good marks? So did they continue chanting, or they gave up the chanting?
They stopped after it.
Oh, after the exam they stopped. But before the next exam they'd start again?
I have only one first exam, that's why after my exam they.
Oh, I see. So, oh, okay.
That, yeah. And when I reached to them, famous Hare Krishna mantra, doesn't mean that I did aparatra, that I chanted for people who doesn't.
No. The point is that you're getting them to getting people to a chant and everything. That's the thing. It's the Yuga Dharma and everything like that. That kind of thing, that's what you can generally tell people. But getting to the details of the glories of the holy name, that's where you don't get involved. You know what I'm saying? Unless they have faith.
All of them were Indians, and I explained them at some point about
Modi. If they were comfortable with it and very inspired, then that's fine. The point is you don't bring up the glories of the holy name for people who are going to argue about it. That's what it means.
Actually, they chant sometimes before exam, but they chant more before the results come out.
Okay. Before the exam, a little bit, and more before the results. Yeah, because somehow or another, by the more chanting, it'll change the results or something. The guy will slip, and instead of, you know, he's supposed to be writing a B, but when it goes to write, he slips and it becomes an A or something.
Because now there is nothing they can do. Complete dependence on God.
Okay, then there's complete dependence. Okay. When there's still the idea, I can do this, okay, then. Yeah.
If you motivate people to chant Hare Krishna because of good marks, it's a bad motivation.
You could say it's not the ideal, but it's better than not chanting at all. You know, so by any means. Yeah,
well, by hook or by crook.
Yeah, by hook or by crook.
The universe situation starts like that. You chant to get better focus, and
okay.
And then you lose all focus. Yeah, you lose all focus.
Yeah, no, but you chant to get better focus, not on your studies, but on Krishna consciousness. Yeah. Verse 1:9, 54-55. After describing the Lord's distribution of the fruit of love of Godhead, I now wish to describe the different branches of the tree of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy. I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Conclusion. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most benevolent personality in human society because his only desire is to make people happy. Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement is especially meant for the purpose of making people happy. He wanted to become the tree himself because the tree is said to be the most benevolent living entity. Any sincere person who comes to join this movement will attain perfection, but one who joins with an ulterior purpose will never be able to grasp the philosophy of this movement. Okay. The right attitude. On here, do we put the particular in bold?
Usually we don't.
Usually, okay.
Huh.
Well, that's just a plot.
Start doing that again.
Okay. Then we know it's from the beginning. Because it was done in another chapter.
Oh, at the...
At the conclusion.
At the conclusion, okay.
So. Right there. You know, because the first line is that, and then the afterwards. You know, like you do here, the particular, and then it's just at the end. Chapter 10, the trunk, branches, and sub-branches of the Chaitanya tree. Pratigya. The associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were many. None of them should be considered higher or lower. This cannot be ascertained. Adhyaya Prakashita. The 10th chapter describes the branches and sub-branches of the main trunk and the distribution of their fruits. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, 17:3-23. Shloka Anusharana. Verses 1-164, the branches of the Chaitanya tree. Verse 1:10:1. Let me repeatedly offer my respectful obeisances unto the bee-like devotees who always taste the honey of the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even if a doggish non-devotee somehow takes shelter of such devotees, he enjoys the aroma of the lotus flower. Right? 'Cause I guess generally dogs aren't very interested in the aroma of a lotus flower. Srila Prabhupada, the example of a dog is very significant in this connection. A dog naturally does not become a devotee at any time. But still it is sometimes found that a dog of a devotee gradually becomes a devotee also. We have actually seen that a dog has no respect even for the tulsi plant. Indeed, a dog is especially inclined to pass urine on the tulsi plant. Because no one else is going to the tulsi plant, so no one has claimed their territory, so then they're always very inclined, right? Therefore, the dog is the number one non-devotee. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement is so strong that even a dog-like non-devotee can gradually become a devotee by the association of a devotee of Lord Chaitanya. Srila Shivananda Sen, a great householder devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, attracted a dog on the street while going to Jagannath Puri. The dog began to follow him and ultimately went to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and was liberated. Okay, so wasn't a family dog?
He actually paid for tolls for it. He had to pay extra for the boat tolls.
Wasn't
his, but he took care of it.
Yeah, but I mean, as they were going, a dog came along, because sometimes you're walking and dogs come along and walk, because something's happening, so people are going, they want to know what's happening.
So it was not his pet.
It was not his pet, yeah, but he took care of it. So it wasn't Sena and the family dog, right? Sorry?
What this example is.
Dogs
for the families.
Yeah, if you pick them up while you're on pilgrimage and while you're walking along, and when you get to the end of the pilgrimage they visit Lord Chaitanya, go back to Godhead, then it's fabulous. Go for it. But if you're not going anywhere and the dog lives in your house, that's a slightly different thing.
Especially if he's passing urine on your Tulsi plant.
Yes. Yeah. Similarly, cats and dogs in the household of Shivas Thakur were also liberated. Cats and dogs and other animals are not expected to become devotees. From the association of pure devotee, they are also delivered. This,
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was also playing with a small puppy.
Yes, yes. And then the puppy went back to Godhead. Yeah. But his mother came out and chastised him for playing with the puppies.
Actually, she takes her with the puppy and when he went to take bath, she takes her with the puppy and goes
from there. Verse 1:10, 2-8. All glories to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda. All glories to Advaita Prabhu and all glories to the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, headed by Srivas. The description of Lord Chaitanya as the gardener and the tree is inconceivable. Now hear with attention about the branches of this tree. The associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are many, but none of them should be considered higher or lower. This cannot be ascertained. All the great personalities in the line of Lord Chaitanya enumerated these devotees, but they could not distinguish between the greater and the lesser. I offer my obeisances unto them as a token of respect. I request them not to consider my offenses. I offer my obeisances to all the dear devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the eternal tree of love of Godhead. I offer my respects to all the branches of the tree, the devotees of the Lord, who distribute the fruit of love of God, of Krishna. The two brothers, Sri Vas Pandit and Sri Rama Pandit, started two branches that are well known in the world. Srila Prabhupada. In the Gauranga Dashtipika 90, Sri Vas Pandit, Sri Vas Thakur, is described as an incarnation of Narad Muni, and Sri Rama Pandit, his younger brother, is said to be an incarnation of Parvata Muni, a great friend of Narada's. Sri Vas Pandit's wife, Malini, is celebrated as an incarnation of the nurse Ambika, who fed Lord Chaitanya with her breast milk. And, as already noted, his niece, Narayani, the mother of Thakur Vrindavan Das, the author of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, was the sister of Ambika in Krishna Lila. We also understand from the description of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat that after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's acceptance of the sannyas order, Srivas Pandit left Navadvipa, possibly because of feelings of separation, and domiciled at Kumarahatta. Where was Kumarahatta, you said? You said something about Kumarahatta?
Yeah, yesterday we went through it. It was just that the station was called Kamarhatta.
Kamarhatta.
That's one of them
is on the Sri Rampur
railway
station. Oh, it's on the Navadvip side, towards Calcutta.
Yeah, near
Naihati.
Near Naihati.
That's this side of the river or that side?
That's eastern side, that side. Near
Naihati
and
Kalyan. Okay. Verse 1:10, 9-11. Their two brothers were named Sripati and Srinidhi. These four brothers and their servants and maidservants are considered one big branch. There is no counting the sub-branches of these two branches. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu held congregational chanting daily at the house of Srivas Pandit. These four brothers and their family members fully engaged in the service of Lord Chaitanya. They knew no other god or goddess. Srila Prabhupada. One who has no idea what God actually is thinks that any form he imagines or any rascal he accepts can be God. This acceptance of cheap gods or incarnations of God is actually atheism. It is to be concluded, therefore, that those who worship demigods or self-proclaimed incarnations of God are all atheists, right? Because here's atheist doesn't, it means that they're not actually believing in God himself. Right? So they're taking others as gods. So that means we could say that they may be religious, but it doesn't mean that they're not, that they're theistic, right? In the actual sense. Because theism means you actually understand Krishna and the position of all the different personalities in the universe, how they're related to the Lord. So if you just see that they're non-different, like that it doesn't matter, then it's actually atheistic because you're not actually understanding Krishna in his position or anyone else. Does that make sense? Though they can be religious, so by association they can understand properly.
What about Jarasandha, for example, who is worshipping Narayana, but when Krishna
yes.
So he's
they're religious, but they're you see is that, you know, it's maybe worshipping Narayan but not the devotees, you know, but or Narayan but not Krishna, you know, because then they have their own sense, they're putting their own sense of religiosity on the Lord, and so he can't understand.
So in the maximum Indians
are atheists, yes.
Yes, so they are atheists because they don't understand the position of Krishna.
The maximum number of Indians. What to do? I mean, the whole world's atheistic, so. Because the point is theism starts at the Manomoy platform.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And there, it's theistic from that you're accepting the scriptures and all that. But when it comes to actually understanding the philosophy, then they're not. So you'll see is that you could say, as in general, the Indians are theistic by religion, but not by philosophy. Right? So makes sense.
Opposite?
Sorry?
And the Westerners
tend to be the opposite. Yes.
Or just completely atheistic. Both.
Oh, then you have those also. Yes, basically. Yeah, she was talking about the. Unfortunately, those who do not cultivate Krishna consciousness and do not properly understand the Vedic knowledge accept any rascal to be an incarnation of God. And they are of the opinion that one can become an incarnation simply by worshipping a demigod. This philosophical hodgepodge exists under the name of the Hindu religion. But the Krishna conscious movement does not approve of it. Indeed, we strongly condemn it. Such worship of demigods and so-called incarnations of God should never be confused with the pure Krishna consciousness movement. Verse 110, 12-13. Another big branch was Acharya Ratna, and its associates were sub-branches. Acharya Ratna was also named Chandrasekhar Acharya. In a drama in his house, Lord Chaitanya played the goddess of fortune. Oh, that was in Chandrasekhar's house. I always thought that was in Srinivas Thakur's house. Srila Prabhupada. Dramatic performances were enacted during the presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But the players who took part in such dramas were all pure devotees. No outsiders were allowed. The members of ISKCON should follow this example. Whenever they stage dramatic performances about the lives of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Lord Sri Krishna, the players must be pure devotees. Because it's not about the quality of the acting. It's about the quality of the devotion. That's the point. Because it's not that through mundane acting technique you can bring out something spiritual. Right? There's no acting technique for that. Right? It's that they are there, they sincerely want to serve the Lord, and then by that drama, that will be special. Because it's about tasting Krishna consciousness, not about the excellence of the drama. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. That's the... Indeed, we strongly condemn it. Right? Okay. Whenever they stage dramatic performances about the lives of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Lord Krishna, the players must be pure devotees. Professional players and dramatic actors have no sense of devotional service. And therefore, although they can perform very artistically, there is no life in such performances. Right? Because you're looking for the spiritual context. It won't be there. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to refer to such an actor as Yatra Dale Narada, which means farcical Narada. Sometimes an actor in a drama plays the part of Narad Muni, although in his private life he is not at all like Narad Muni, because he is not a devotee. Such actors are not needed in dramatic performances about the lives of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Krishna. You know, so that was always the fun, like Krishna said. That in the temples, especially that, I'm not sure when it started, but early 70s, 70, 71, 72, like that, And some places it was still there, 70, you know, beyond that. But for a lot of temples, then on the Sunday program, one of the parts, they would do a drama. It'd just be the devotees that were there that were comfortable with doing some drama. They'd get together and do different things like that. You know, it was all part of the Sunday feast program. So it wasn't about how professional it was and all that. It was just how well, you know, how devotionally it was done. Yes.
It's not forbidden because I gave all these tasks to my students to perform dramas about Madhavacharya and Murgi and Lord Chaitanya.
Yeah, but they're doing that under your direction. Right? They're not doing it so that they're going to get, you know, what do you call it? What do they get? Tonys? Tony Awards.
Emmy Awards. Grammy Awards.
Grammys for singing.
Emmy.
Emmys?
Emmys.
It's more prestigious, Emmy.
Yeah. Emmys, okay.
Yeah, Tony's, not many people care about Emmy.
Oh, okay. but is that just theater? Emmy? It means stage acting.
Oh, no.
That's
oh,
what
yeah.
I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's for like movies, so.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So, yeah, you're right.
Tony's is stage. Because if you're going to go for silver screen, then you go for an Academy.
Right.
Yeah. I had a question. There is an aspect about actors and acting life that because we have to penetrate and take on the persona of the person that you are representing, there is a kind of schism of personality that the actors often end up with, that they kind of lose themselves.
Well, especially if they're method actors, then they definitely lose it.
Yeah.
Like you notice that they switched the Joker because the other guy went off the rails. You know.
I was wondering, in this case, say we start training devotees or people that are just interested in Krishna consciousness, may have a penchant towards this drama.
Yes.
Would it help them to go deeper in the understanding of the personalities and the philosophy?
Not really. It's not so much. It's like how much is given here. Because the point is it's not that you become. There's certain... You're trying to deliver certain lines and actions to generate a particular aspect of rasa. It's not about the reality of it as about the reality of the, you could say, the technique as it is about the reality of the devotional aspect. Like that, right? Do you have a background in theater or something? Or?
No, I don't, okay. But I have been concerned about this idea. Because
no, because, see, that's what we're saying, is if you're going with the Stanislavski kind of thing, they get totally into it and all that, but that's for those actors. A lot of actors think that actors who do Stanislavski are a bit, you know, taking it too far. So the whole point is just... You're an actor means you take on that role, but it's about expressing that. It's not about being the person.
Okay.
You don't have to do that. But at the same time, it's that you're representing that person, whoever you're playing. So like if someone's playing Narad Muni, then there is a non-difference there between them and Narad Muni, but that's because that potency is there. It's not that they take on that mood and I am Narad and this and that.
Yeah.
Like that. So it's two different things. So that's why... That means at least those circle that we were exposed to, they stayed very far away from method acting. They thought method actors were a bit strange. But if you talk to method actors, they, one, are totally into it and are strange. They drive everyone else nuts because everyone else, they go on, they do their thing, they come off, they're normal. The method actor is off, he's that person. On, he's that person. You're going to lunch, he's still that person. You're in the toilet, he's still that person. You know, it's just like, you know, they're trying to, you know, get into the role and, you know, it's just others, this thing. It's, you're acting, you know. But what to do? So that could drive them nuts, yes. Like that. But for us, we don't, because we never are that person, because then that's impersonalism. But we're playing the role of that, so we're delivering and trying to make it as close as possible. But they don't have to go into knowing all the detail about it and things like that. How much is necessary for appreciating what's the attitude and that, what's mentioned here? Because the stories are all given, and what they're saying and what the mood is and everything, that's enough. So, yeah. Yes. Yes, like I was saying with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, is that the one big Leela Kirtanir, very famous, then he wanted to perform for Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he says, we're not into all this stuff, because they're just professional. And he says, I also have a non-professional presentation, just the devotional. And so he allowed them to perform that. But it's professional, where he does all the things and everything like that. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to perform dramas with Advaita Prabhu, Srivas Thakur, and other devotees in the house of Chandrasekhar. The place where Chandrasekhar's house was situated is now known as Vrajabhatan. Oh, okay. So that's the main gate. I mean, you go in the gate coming from our place. Up here, you know, the lions are there, and you come in, and first there's Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's house. But if you don't go in, you stay on the road and you go up, and then the next gate on the side, that on the right, that's Chandrasekhar's house.
I mean, still that compound or the next compound?
No, it's in that same compound. That used to be the main gate.
Just after the...
But somehow they've closed that, now they use this end, and they've made a new gate at the other end. But it was the one where you walk in, you go straight into where the deities are in that.
Okay.
That gate.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's open, most of the time it seems to be closed. But that's where Chandrasekhar Acharya's house is. And so he said Vrajabhatan. Vrajabhatan was that where Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was staying. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur established a branch of his own Chaitanya Math at this place. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to accept the renounced order of life, Chandrasekhar Acharya was informed of this by Sri Nityananda Prabhu. And therefore he was present when Lord Chaitanya accepted sannyas from Keshava Bharati in Katwa. It is he who first spread the word in Navadvip of Lord Chaitanya's accepting sannyas. Sri Chandrasekhar Acharya was present during many important incidents in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He therefore forms the second branch of the tree of Lord Chaitanya. By show, Srinivas Acharya is the first, and his brothers, and then we have Chandrasekhar Acharya. Verse 110. Smoke is there just so you can't quite see the clock. It's fine, don't worry. Verse 110:14. Pundarik Vidyanidhi. The third big branch was so dear to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that in his absence, Lord Chaitanya himself would sometimes cry. Srila Prabhupada. In the Gaura Ganodesh Deepika, Srila Pundarik Vidyanidhi is described as the father of Srimati Radharani in Krishna Leela. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore treated him as his father. Pundarik Vidyanidhi's father was known as Bhaneshwara, or, according to another opinion, Shuklambara Brahmachari, and his mother's name was Ganga Devi. According to one opinion, Bhaneshwara was the descendant of Sri Shivarama Gangopadhyaya. The original home of Pundarik Vidyanidhi was in East Bengal, now Bangladesh, in a village near Dhaka named Bhagia, which belonged to the Varendra group of Brahmana families. Sometimes these Varendra Brahmanas were at odds with another group known as Radhiya Brahmanas. And therefore, Pundarik Vidyanidhi's family was ostracized and at that time was not living as a respectable family. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in his Anubhashya, quote, one of the members of this family is living in Vrindavan and his name is Sarojananda Goswami. One special characteristic of this family is that each of its members had only one son or no son at all, and therefore the family is not very expansive. There is a place in the district of Chattogram in East Bengal that is known as Hata Hajari, and a short distance from the place is a village known as Mekala Grama, in which Pundarik Vidyanidhi's forefathers lived. One can approach Mekalagrama from Chatagrama, either on horseback or by bullock cart or by steamer. The steamer station is known as Anandapur Narda Ghat. The birthplace of Pundarik Vidyanidhi is about 2 miles southwest of Anandapurnara Ghat. The temple constructed there by Pundarik Vidyanidhi is now very old and much in need of repair. Without repair, the temple may soon crumble. There are two inscriptions on the bricks of that temple, but they are so old one cannot read them. There is another temple, however, about 200 yards south of this one, and some people say that this is the old temple constructed by Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Natives are becoming restless. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called Pundarik Vidyanidhi father and gave him the title of Premanidhi. Pundarik Vidyanidhi later became the spiritual master of Gadadhar Pandit and an intimate friend of Srup Damodar's. Gadadhar Pandit at first misunderstood Pundarik Vidyanidhi to be an ordinary pounds and shillings man. But later upon being corrected by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became his disciple. Another incident in the life of Pundarik Vidyanidhi involves his criticizing the priest of the Jagannath temple, for which Jagannath Prabhu chastised him personally by slapping his cheeks. This is described in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Antyakanda, chapter 10. Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur informs us that during this time, there were still two living descendants of the family of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, who were named Sri Hara Kumara Smriti Tirtha and Sri Krishna Kinkara Vidya Lankara. For further information, one should refer to the dictionary known as Vaishnav Manjusha. You know my Vaishnav Manjusha? No? Seems to be a dictionary. Okay. Heard of the Vaishnav Abhidhan. Not this. Okay. Verse 110:15. Gadadhar Pandit, the fourth branch, is described as an incarnation of the pleasure potency of Sri Krishna. No one, therefore, can equal him. Srila Prabhupada. In the Gaura Ganodash Deepika, 147-53, it is stated, the pleasure potency of Sri Krishna, formerly known as Vrindavaneshwari, is now personified in the form of Sri Gadadhar Pandit in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. End quote. Sri Sarup Damodar Goswami has pointed out that in the shape of Lakshmi, the pleasure potency of Krishna, she was formerly very dear to the Lord as Shamasundara Vallabha. The name Shamasundara Vallabha was present in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes as Gadadhar Pandit. Formerly, as Lalita Shaki, she was always devoted to Srimati Radharani. Thus, Gadadhar Pandit is simultaneous an incarnation of Srimati Radharani and Lalita Shaki. In the 12th chapter of this part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a description of the descendants or the civic succession of Gadadhar Pandit. Yeah, because you see, Lalita is always assisting in the pastimes of Radharani. Right? But since Lord Chaitanya has taken the mood of Radharani, the pastimes are happening with him. So Radharani is taking that mood to assist in these pastimes. In his commentary to Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Adi Kanda 2.2, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati writes, Sri Gadadhar Pandit Goswami was the foremost among Mahaprabhu's intimate devotees. As he is the origin of the Shakti Tattva, he was present in the Lord's pastimes at both Navadvip and Neelachal. He lived first in Navadvip, and later he lived as a Kshetra Sannyasi in a sub-forest near the ocean at Neelachal. The pure devotees who worship the sweet feature of Sri Sri Radha Govinda take shelter of Gadadhara and thus become known as intimate devotees of Sri Gaura. Those who are not enthusiastic to worship the sweet feature of the Lord perform devotional service under the shelter of Nityananda Prabhu. Some of Gaura's devotees, like Sri Narahari, were followers of Sri Gadadhar Pandit, who had taken shelter of Gadadhar under the consideration that Sri Gaurasundar was is only worshipable Lord. Some people call Sriman Mahaprabhu the life and soul of Nityananda, and some call him the life and soul of Gadadhar. So both these aspects are there because the Guru is representing both. Does that make sense? But the point is without Nityananda's mercy, as was said previously, you're not going to become free from material endeavor. And without that, you can't give up the material, how you say, sense gratification, so you won't be able to understand Vrindavan. So that still is there. It's not that, we don't have to deal with Nityananda Prabhu. It just points us once when there, then there's that aspect of Lord Chaitanya with Gadadhar Pandit. But that is the aspect of in his tasting of the aspects is he has the three reasons he's coming, so for him to taste that aspect of Srimati Radharani, then that aspect, then that you'll see that's with Lalita, Ramananda Rai and Gadadhar Pandit. But then the point is the Sankirtan movement and also the cultivating of the devotees, that's done with Lord Nityananda Prabhu. So all of this goes together. So to just take one, or if one focuses more on one or the other, then yes, there may be that flavor. Does this make any sense? Or yes?
He actually does. However, the question is that we don't, in ISKCON, we don't have any poor Gadadhar deities. Or maybe one set, as far as I know. So, and then, but previously, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, they had many. So what is the reason for that?
See, the Gaur Gadadhar means that there's an understanding of these more advanced principles, but the point is that what comes up now when we say Gaur Gadadhar, then how are we interpreting this? Who's Gaur, who's Gadadhar?
Well, it depends.
That's the point. So if you have Radharani with Radharani assisting Krishna, tasting the nature of Radharani, then you have Gaur Gadadhar. Right. So then that assistance, that, as we said, assisting in the pastimes of Radharani, making the arrangements, that's done by who? Lalita. That's why it said that Gadadhar has that mood. Because all the Shakti Tattva is Radharani. So depending on what activity is done, what mood is there, then it'll take on that flavor. So then that aspect is there. So the point is you have Radharani and Radharani. You have Krishna's Radharani and then Radharani. But if you say we have Radha and Krishna, that's where the problem comes out. Does that make sense?
As
Gaur Gadadhar. Because the point is Lord Chaitanya doesn't interact with Gadadhar as his consort. Right? He interacts, because they're the most intimate, because the point is it's Radharani helping Lord Chaitanya taste the mood of Radharani.
Yeah.
But you see, in the Gauranga Nagaris, then their whole thing is about is Radha Krishna. I don't know if you've ever seen this one famous painting by one of the Gauranga Nagaris. You have this kind of courtyard, and it's got these pillars and that, and it's kind of got these, malati or kind of bushes go around the top. And Lord Chaitanya is there, and he's dancing. And then over on the side, Gadadhar's dancing. And the two are looking at each other, in such a lustful way that, it would be kind of that look like you would have to go to the guy at the counter and ask for one of the magazines under the counter to get those kind of looks. So that's the problem, is that they think this is what's going on. So the whole point is, but until you're freed from material desire, you can't understand this. It's not that you're directly going there. It's only by the mercy of Lord Nityananda that you can get in that position. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's just like to stay in the Dham, it's by Lord Nityananda's mercy. Oh. Right? That's what it said. By his mercy you can be freed, and then you can appreciate the Dham. So it's understood that if you're worshipping there, you're already worshipping the Panchatattva, Gornitai, like this. But as an ultimate position, then if it's just about Krishna and Balaram, then that will be a different flavor than if it's the ultimate position. It's about Radha and Krishna. But Lord Chaitanya is already taking that mood of Radha and Krishna. You understand? So it's not as prominent and necessary for us because there's too much discussion before you get to that point. The Gorni Thai, bingo, you're right there. But with the other is that you can discuss and still people don't get it. Does that make sense? So therefore it's not so necessary for us. Because the point is in any case, in Lord Chaitanya, you have Radha and Krishna. Because generally, if you have Radha Krishna, then Balaram doesn't come around. But here, in this form, then you get Radha Krishna and Balaram together. So it doesn't get better than that. Does that make sense? Because otherwise, how do you approach? How do you get there? Does that make sense?
Because then we chant Gaurarati, the Kiran Gai chant, you know, and then on the other side is Gadadhar.
Yes. Means they're all there. The whole Panchatattva is there. That's why our emphasis is on the Panchatattva. You have that intimate aspect is there, but the point is it's like Radha Krishna worship and pastimes until you on that rag platform, it doesn't actually, there is no real meaning to it. Because if you turn it into Vaidhi, it's not rag. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So the point is without that rag, Nityananda and all that, it works very nicely. And by his grace, one gives up the attachments that therefore you can work on that platform of rag. Because Lord Chaitanya is taking the prominent role. He's in the mood of Radharani. And then from there, you remember Radha and Krishna, and so then it's there. So does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's not as important that we're looking at it from the angle of that Gaur Gadadhar, Radha and Krishna, because that's not actually the mood that's going on. What is that? Is that just a little one? Is that? It's not one of those little wasp things, is it?
No, it's a mosquito.
Oh, it's a mosquito.
Oh, wait. It's
Oh, okay. Well, those guys are cool.
Yeah, all right.
Does that make sense? So, to be able to distinguish that, then that'll always... It means being freed from material kind of attraction makes that easier to understand. And you're going to get that by Nityananda Prabhu's grace. So the Sankirtan movement is Gorni Thai. His tasting himself of Radharani's passion. That's done with Gadadhar and Lalita, right? And Vishakha and like that. So that means that's where that's being tasted. But they're all taking the mood of assisting. So even as there, Lord Chaitanya in Gambira is in the mood of Radharani. So then you're going to have another Radharani there. So Radharani takes a mood that assists.
Yeah.
So that's just the point. Otherwise, then it is Radha and Krishna. But the point is, this is Krishna in the mood of Radharani, is Lord Chaitanya. So that has to be appreciated. Otherwise, if you just take it as Radha and Krishna, then you'll miss the point. Right. Unless you're from San Francisco. Then you're cool. Okay, yes. So therefore you have to consider that there are more things to it. It's a subtler aspect.
Yeah.
So therefore it wouldn't be a prominent part of our mission. Okay. Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki Jai Nitai Gaura Prema ki.
Vaishnava Manjusha is a book compiled by Bhaktivedanta Thakur. He personally went to all those places.
Oh, so it just explains where everything is. Yeah. Oh, and Prabhupada's always talking about where everything is. That's from there. Oh, that's fine.
So he personally went and noted it down. That's all we know.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's why it speaks our language station.
Okay, yeah, because Prabhupada always mentions that. I didn't realize this comes from there. Okay, cool.
So,
some of those stations I think don't exist anymore because there are some narrow gauge lines that are mentioned.
Those narrow gauge aren't running anymore.
A lot of those have been taken out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, even our local one's been taken out. Yeah. Of course, they took it out and didn't replace it, so all glories.
Yeah.
Yeah, true, and it's the same governance dealing with the other ones. So, yeah. Okay.
They use for Duke.
Huh?
They use that driveway line for drying their juice.
Yeah, drying the juice, setting up shops. Yeah, you know, it does have its advantages.